You know what?
Well,
Amy,
yes.
Do you want to bring in Dave Simons?
Oh my gosh, so excited to bring
in
Dave Simons.
I love talking to Dave Simons.
And our people, the people, love to hear him. Because after he was on last week, text line. Love, yeah. Dave.
And they are excited to hear that he wants to cap credit card interest rates. That it's his idea. And because of Dave Simons, you're no longer going to get gouged by the credit card companies. Dave is the managing director of One Private Wealth. What's going on?
You guys are making me blush. I mean, seriously. Well, all this loving out there. Thank you so much.
Well, we love you very much. The people love you. And
Love is over now.
And so the love is over. Now it's time to talk about credit card rates.
Let's get the real stuff.
Back to business.
Okay, we joked at the end of the last hour that this was Bernie Sanders' idea to cap credit card interest rates, which is not a joke. It actually really was true. But this was something that Bernie Sanders likes. And Donald Trump has said that Americans are, quote, being ripped off by credit card companies, and that a 10% interest rate cap would ease affordability concerns. Well, I'll just throw it to you. What do you think of a 10% interest rate cap?
Well, I will give you my opinion on that, but let me back up just a second and say this. I do applaud the president for finally addressing some of the issues that are facing a large number of Americans. The economy is doing well by all measures. But we've talked about this before, but there is a growing swath of Americans who just are not feeling the loving out there. And it's been tough for them. And unfortunately, a lot of our politicians have been loath to really address that, including the president himself, who's even called some of these continued focus on inflation a Democratic hoax. So it's nice. I applaud the president to say, let's put everything on the table. Let's look at capping credit card interest. Let's look at maybe making it more difficult for some of these big institutions to buy individual homes. That's been put out there. This is great. Now, with that said, some of this stuff should be dismissed. It's easy, guys. It's really easy to say, yeah, this sounds like a good idea to cap for 1 year. That's just the plan. 1 year credit card interest at 10%. Be careful what you wish for, because on the surface, this sounds like a no-brainer. Well, why wouldn't you do that? With credit card companies, let me tell you something. They're not getting really rich on a lot of these interest charges. They make a ton of money on other things, their annual fees, late payment fees, these little monthly nuisance things, cash advance fees, transaction fees. Of course, every time you use a credit card, they're getting a little money on that. It's like those payday loan offices that you see that have also been a political hot potato that are charging 30 and 40% annual loans for overnight loans. They're not getting rich doing that because it's the risk that they take. There is so much default. And that's the same thing with credit card companies. The unintended consequence, in my opinion, is if you cap this at 10%, from what I can see in my research and reading some white papers of analysts who don't really have any skin in the game, you would actually start to see some losses being established at the credit card company level. They're not going to accept that. So they're going to start increasing those late payment fees, the annual fees. They're going to find a way to make up that revenue. And lastly on that, for the very people that we're trying to help, those who are really deep in debt and cannot pay those credit card payments on a monthly basis, the credit card companies would likely now start restricting their access completely. And I've even seen where they're going to start requiring, if this were to go through, let's say a FICO credit score of 720 and up. Well, now the people who really need this as a lifeline won't even have access to it. So I like the fact that we are discussing this. Things need to be done, but I don't think that this one is workable.
What could be done? Because it does seem like, and I think most credit cards, for the most part, the average credit card, it is something like 26 to 30% is the interest rate that they are charging, which is just
24% is the average.
24 it is now. Okay, I mean, that's a crazy number.
Yeah, that's a great question, and honestly, it's a little bit above my pay grade, guys. I don't know. This is such a big societal issue. Mm-hmm. And this is a very, very important issue for me. In my weekly commentary that I sent out on Fridays, this is a common topic for me. And I will show graphs and charts to say we cannot ignore this growing divide between the haves and have-nots, which is getting deeper and wider by the year. This has enormous societal and political and social and financial implications down the road that if we continue to ignore it, this country is going to have real, real problems. And we're starting to see a little bit of that. Never in my wildest dreams would a major city like New York elect an avowed socialist and people are happy about it. And they've just done the same thing in Seattle. So we can sit here and say, well, that'll never work and that's stupid. What are these people thinking? You get to the point where like, well, we've tried this. We've tried to do this. We've elected these people and it's not helping. So why not try it? Now, this is going to be a disaster, but at least I get the mindset. So this is where I do applaud the president to say, let's put everything out there. And I guess where I could get behind it is his whole thing is let's do it for 1 year. Maybe that could really help some people if it's 1 year. I would not sign off of it if this was a new law that would just take effect and always stay in place, because I think that would actually hurt more consumers. But for 1 year, I'm okay with trying that.
So would that mean that it's for new purchases and not ones you've already made? Is that how that would work?
Yeah, they have not discussed that. Everything that I've been able to read, that this is just kind of floating the idea out there, and that has to be worked out. Now, I will say this. Honestly, I don't think this is going to happen the way that the president wants through executive action. From what I can tell legally, I don't think that you can go into private practice like this and force the credit card companies to do this outside of congressional action. So I think they'll have to do it a different way, but at least it's getting people to talk, and that's a start.
Yeah, it's interesting to see all the responses, whether you're reading the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the National Review, to the Washington Post about this credit card cap. And a lot of discussion. The National Review has seemingly been all the articles I've read from them have been pretty much against it, basically saying, like what you talked about, that there are going to be unintended consequences and that credit card companies will find ways to protect themselves, saying, okay, well, we use high interest rate to protect ourselves from risky borrowers. So now if we have to cap it at 10%, well, maybe we'll only approve the most secure candidates, which means it's going to be way harder to get a credit card.
You know, it reminds me of like rent control, which sounds like, oh, that's a great thing, wouldn't it? I mean, inflation's going up and rents are going up. Let's just freeze this for a while. Well, it's never, ever worked. Because what happens is the landlords who cannot raise their rents, but their lives, everything around them are going up, costs, utilities, building materials, and all this, that they either go out of business or they start selling off properties. And now, instead of increasing supply, you're actually limiting supply. And so you get the same thing with if you cap credit card interest rate, which sounds wonderful in theory, but in practicality, the very people that you're trying to help end up getting hurt because now they have no credit accessibility.
Talking with Dave Simons on KMOX, and we have seen a statement which was released yesterday and it was signed off on by all of the Fed chairs from the past who are alive still. You've got Treasury secretaries who have signed off on it, and it is a defense of Jerome Powell. He is being investigated by the Department of Justice. This doesn't seem like, to me, and you can, educate us, I guess, it doesn't seem like this could have a good ending. Like, it's most likely to be a bad ending if this really goes through.
You talk about a self-inflicted wound here. So I'll prove to be a little bit of an equal opportunity antagonist. I spent the first few minutes here applauding the president and saying, hey, this is great. Let's get everything on the table. You're finally recognizing that we need to help those who most need it in the economy. This is on the other side. This is just plain dumb. This was stupid. And to Jay Powell's credit, he has sat there and he has taken one arrow after another from the president, just really personal, invective, just playground, elementary school abuse of calling him names. And he has taken it and he's not really fought back. This was a bridge too far, because now you have criminal indictment where you're talking jail sentence here for the Fed chair. Are you this is crazy. So he did the right thing. He finally stepped out. He went public. He said he's not going to accept this. He's going to fight it. And everybody's been coming to not only his defense, but the Fed's independence defense. And that also comes from some high profile Republicans. Now, it's interesting. They're stepping away from it. The president says, well, I was never really informed of this. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. And you even have Attorney General Pam Bondi who's saying, well, they just wouldn't cooperate. And no, I never said indictment. I'm just so they are quickly backing away from this. But you talk about unintended consequences. I'm kind of laughing about this in a way. This Jay Powell's tenure, as you know, ends in May. He's definitely done. But he still can stay on as a Fed governor, which votes on interest rates for another couple of years until 28. Speculation was that he would go ahead and step away from that. But now he may stay on just so he can protect the independence of the Fed, because Trump has pushed him too far. There are two other voting members who have been siding with Powell, who were thinking about stepping off also in 26. They now have been publicly saying they may stay on just to defend the independence of the Fed against the president. So the unintended consequence here is I want people in there who will lower interest rates down to 1%. Now it may be the opposite because he went too far.
You know, it's so interesting because we've talked a lot about the bloated and ever-expanding executive branch, which goes back multiple administrations, right, where you just want the executive branch to get things done, the pen and phone administrations. So we've looked at how that affects our, you know, rights as American citizens, or how it might affect war powers, or how it may or not make Congress seem less powerful. But I don't think we've talked too much about how the expanding executive branch has impacted the economy. Do you see that as a concern, that the executive branch, instead of just influencing the economy, might have way more direct impact than it ever has before?
100%, Amy. This has been very concerning to me. There should be the largest of all walls between the White House and the executive branch and the free market. There should be very little overplay. Yes, you have to have oversight, absolutely. But just to give you one example, I am not in favor of the government taking a stake in publicly traded companies like Intel. The government now owns 10%. The moral hazard there cannot be overstated, because now you're a competitor with Intel and you're thinking, what? The government now is actually working directly with another company that we go up against in the semiconductor and chip manufacturing industry. And so I have a real problem with that. And now it gets to these governmental agencies that are supposed to be separate from Congress and from the White House up to a point. I would venture to say this: of all the quasi-government agencies, the one that has long been considered the most independent, almost sacrosanct, that it cannot have any influence from the White House, is the Federal Reserve. Yes, there is oversight. Yes, the president ultimately selects the person that he would want as the Fed, and that has to be voted on by the Senate and all that. But outside of that, there should be very, very little influence. Never in my lifetime, if not the history of the country, have we ever seen this kind of public involvement of trying to sway the Fed in someone's own image. And it's nice to see. It's nice to see that while it's been bending, it is not breaking. And I don't think it will. I think the defense of the Fed's independence has really come through in the last 48 hours. And I'm glad to see many Republicans who have been afraid to speak out because of the wrath of the president are now doing just that and saying this is too far. And now, at least so far, the president hasn't taken to Truth Social to go after these Republicans. He's been mum, and that speaks volumes.
Dave Simons, we love talking to you. Thanks for being with us again on a Tuesday.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Amy. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
Dave is a partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. And with us on Tuesdays, that's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. It is not Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. You're not any of those things.
Is it Josh Allen?
No. And you're not any of those people, and yet this show is still really good. And guess what? So are the NFL playoffs. They're still good without all of those guys. How about that?
Doesn't make any sense.
What?
You're saying our show's not good because we don't have Lamar Jackson?
No, I'm saying it's still good regardless of the fact they're not on this show.
That's a great point.
And they're not in the playoffs either.
It's valid.
And guess what? The playoffs are still popping, baby. We'll talk about that and more. We've also got Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 joining us at the bottom of the hour on KMOX. Man, the football's been really good. And by the way, would you like to feel amazingly old right now?
Oh, yes.
So, you know, the whole sketch from Saturday Night Live, the Bears, that whole thing, right? The super fans, which is why everybody said the Bears and all that stuff. 35 years ago today, that sketch debuted. 35 years ago.
It feels older than that. Do you know why?
Really?
Yes, here's why.
Oh, man.
Do you remember? See, mine's the hockey version because the Bears feels like it was 50 years ago, like the 70s.
Yeah.
Here's why it feels older. Because do you remember the fight, which was the Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche and Chris Draper, who got his face blown up by Claude Lemieux, and then a year later, the whole team fought. It was a big deal because it was like Patrick Waugh throwing haymakers. You had all these Hall of Famers, bench-clearing brawl. That will be 30 years ago.
Oh.
Nope, next year. It's the 97. 30 years ago next year. 30 years ago. And to me, the Bears feels so much older than the fight.
Oh, it's interesting. Because, yeah, I don't know. It seems to me like it's fairly recent.
Who was in that?
Oh, it was George Wendt.
Yes.
Mike Myers.
Yes.
Robert Smigel. And was Chris Farley
the guy
in the
from
first
Lord
one?
Of the Rings?
What? Oh, and Chris Farley was in it.
Smigel.
Robert Smigel, the writer.
I thought you meant Schmeagle. My precious.
Oh, my God. You are...
At any rate, yeah. So, I thought that was the 80s.
Robert Smigel is the guy who does Triumph the Insult comic dog.
Yeah. In my head, the Bears was the 80s.
Anyway, 35 years ago, that sketch debuted, and then they had multiple iterations of that sketch, and it's sort of lived on in the culture, right? Well, the playoffs are ongoing. The divisional round is set. So we have our matchups for next weekend. There are four games. There are eight teams left. None of the teams have Joe Burrow or Aaron Rodgers. Jalen Hurts is out now. And the one guy that everybody here loves.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes. Not everybody, but a lot of people in Missouri love Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs who never got there in the first place. And you know what? I've seen this discussion happening on the onlines, and people are talking about how this has been, the league is driven by great quarterbacks.
Yes.
Right? The interest in teams, the quarterback is always the face, almost always, 90% of the time.
It is a quarterback-driven league, as they say.
That is exactly right. And none of those guys are in this playoff, and you know what? They've been great.
Yeah, but doesn't Josh Allen count?
Josh Allen
is a face, and I will say, because of the Bears' year, isn't Caleb Williams getting a ton of
he's getting there.
Attention?
He's not one of the best yet, but I'm telling you, he is getting there. But look, even though the Chiefs are out of it, and Mahomes is injured, and he's got some a long road to recovery, and he didn't have the best year, I still think he's the best. I still think Patrick Mahomes, when he wants to be, is the best player in football. That guy is unbelievable. He is so good, and I'm jealous of how good he is. I'm getting less and less jealous as the days go on, but I'm still very jealous.
Well,
but
and also because couldn't the Bears have gotten him?
Yes.
Maybe?
However, no, they could have.
Yes.
They had that draft and they picked Mitch Trubisky instead. Nobody thought that was a good pick except for the Bears. Yeah. In fact, other teams laughed at them for it. And you moved up one spot in the draft to get him? At any rate, the Bears would have ruined Mahomes. So
they would have. They would have Eberflused him.
Before Eberflus, they would have Eberflused that poor bastard. So that doesn't bother me. What I would say is the games, for the most part, there have been a couple of, like last night was not good. Hey, see ya, Aaron Rodgers, you loser. He's out.
He's mangy.
I hate that guy. And he's done. And maybe retired. Now you know what he's going to do? He's going to put everybody through this. Maybe I'm retired. I don't really know. Maybe I'll come back. I haven't decided. He loves the drama. He loves for people to talk about him. And then he says he hates it when people talk about him. He is the worst kind of person. And I hope he's destitute one day.
Well, the good news is he already has the aesthetic of it.
Yeah. He sucks and he's out. Good. Good riddance. Maybe good riddance from the sport, too. Jacob Sarzosimo covers football for KMOV and Matrix Midwest, and he's with us next on KMOX. Hey, baby, it is 10:30. Hope you're doing great. Hey, hold on a second. I'm talking to my lady here. Hey, hope you're doing great. It's 10:30 in the morning.
Is that a mistake?
No.
Hey, baby.
Listen.
Hey, baby, girl. It's 10:30 in the morning.
Girl, you waking up my people. Hope you're doing great today.
Jacob.
Hold on, we're not to Jacob yet. I haven't introduced Jacob yet.
But now can't he's going to hang up. You just said welcome. Hey, baby, hey, it's 10:30.
Listen, baby.
I bet they don't do that on KMOV.
Well, they can't. Because they would all be fired.
Yeah, I heard TV people are uptight.
Yeah, oh my God, they're so uptight. Jacob Sarzosimo, sports reporter, KMOV, Matrix Midwest. Jacob, you're not uptight, are you?
No, I'm not uptight. You don't need to worry about me being uptight.
Have you ever, can you start tonight's sportscast with, hey baby, the Blues played Carolina.
How you doing, girl?
I'm not sure I can do that, but I'm not very uptight.
Are you tired? You sound tired. Did you just get in from out of town?
No, I was. Yes, I was. And actually, your producer texted me, and I was like, I'm flying in from California late last night. And I was like, if I get in, I'll be on the show in the morning. If I'm mid-air tomorrow morning, I can't do it. So, no, I'm good. I'm good to go. I got to work tonight.
Well, Jacob, I just do want to give you some credit because you didn't just go to California. Didn't you run an ultramarathon while you were there?
I did. That was kind of the whole purpose of the trip. I did. I ran a 50-miler in San Diego.
Nice. How did it go? Was it road or trail?
It was trail. It was in the San Pascual Valley. Mm-hmm. Lucky I don't live there because I can hardly pronounce it. It was mostly like dirt trail, and then it had 4,000 feet of vert ascent pretty much up and down. And it was hard. It was hot. Yeah. There was not a cloud in the sky. And you see what the temperature is in San Diego or in St. Louis right now. And there was like 70 degrees, no clouds, barely any wind. So that was hard. The heat was a battle. The whole thing was really, really hard. But we finished. That's all that really matters.
Well, congratulations. No small task. Congratulations. And thank you. Thank you for joining us.
No worries. This is good. It's good to be back in St. Louis. It's good to back talk sports.
Jacob, it's good to have you back. And I know that with us being 10 years removed from the Rams being in St. Louis, and that officially happened yesterday, 10 years ago, that vote came down. There's a lot that's gone on in the league. And now you've got a pretty exciting playoff. We were just talking about the quarterbacks who were not featured in it. There is no Mahomes. There's no Joe Burrow. Aaron Rodgers is out now. Jalen Hurts is out. But this has still been a pretty good playoff, don't you think?
I hate to say it, but what a breath of fresh air for football fans. You both Super Bowl teams that were in it last year, out. Eagles out. Chiefs out. And I know there might be some Chiefs fans listening. It just wasn't the year it was supposed to be for the Chiefs, but you've been spoiled for almost a decade at this point. It's been a breath of fresh air. And what I really like about it is the NFL kind of prides itself on parity. And that's why I think a lot of people like the NFL so much, is because you never really know what's going to happen. Well, the last few years, you've kind of known what's going to happen just because the Chiefs have been so dominant. The Eagles have been so good. And it was kind of like when the Patriots were in their dynasty run. It's like, yeah, well, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots and Bill Belichick, they'll figure it out at some point. Well, this year you really don't know. Starting the playoffs, you're looking at who's in the playoffs. The Seahawks get a one seed and the Broncos get a one seed. If you would have put this playoff bracket together at the beginning of the year and gave it to fans, they would have been like, you're nuts. There's no way this is how this thing, whole thing ends up. Well, that's why you play the game, and that's where we're at. I'm really intrigued by it, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch throughout the rest of the playoffs until the Super Bowl. But that's what I really like about it is you just really don't know who's going to be good. I mean, the Niners beating the Eagles in Philly, did anybody really see that happening? And then you got other teams that are very impressive, like the Panthers. Like the Panthers almost beating the Rams, and the Rams got the potential MVP on their team. I think this is kind of what the NFL prides itself in, and we're starting to get it again in the NFL. Who knows what the Chiefs do moving forward, but even with what we have right now and moving forward in the playoffs, I'm excited for some new teams and some young teams and some new coaches and some, you know, new quarterbacks to be in this hunt, and they are.
Well, moving to a league where St. Louis does have a team, the Blues play tonight. They host the Carolina Hurricanes, their first home game back after a three-game road trip where they were able to notch 0 points. So not great. They did sign Philip Broberg, their young defenseman, to a six-year extension, and then he promptly was knocked out of the game by Mark Stone in the Vegas Golden Knights game. So with the Blues, their game tonight, any update on Broberg, and what do you expect this week from the Blues? They've got a couple of home games.
They need to bounce back, and I think what the Blues have struggled with, I mean, this isn't just this year, but the consistency and, like, stacking wins. Every time they, like, start to sniff a wild card spot or getting closer, then something doesn't go right. Like, they lose three straight and whatever the case may be. So Broberg, I believe, is day-to-day, concussion protocol or something along those lines, and that hurts a lot because not only has Justin Falk been good on their back end as far as the offensive part of it, Philip Broberg has been good at literally everything all season, and he's been very, very impressive for this team. And you might go as far as to say that Philip Broberg has been a big reason why they continue to stay in the hunt for the playoffs, just because of how solid he's been night in and night out for this team. And you need an example of that? Well, they just signed him midseason to a six-year, $8 million a year contract. So the Blues obviously think he's doing something really right for their team, not only right now, but since he's been in St. Louis. But from the eye test and watching him night to night, he's doing that for the Blues. And so not having him right now does really hurt. But there's bigger problems with this team right now, and it's the consistency of stacking wins. And whether you think they're going to make the playoffs or make a push forward or not, this team just needs to find the consistency in their play, and that is where their struggle is right now. And so coming back home, coming back to play tonight versus Carolina, there just needs to be just a more consistent – and this isn't even me, like, analyzing it. This is what they continue to say after practices, after games, like the consistent effort, the consistent urgency, the consistent, like, will to win. And they've been looking for it all season, and they have yet to find it. Now, last year you saw with this team, when it got down to crunch time, they found it. Well, they're kind of getting down to crunch time now as we go into the Olympic break and then after the Olympic break as well. So we're in 2026. Will they find that again? That's the big question. But if you look at the standings, they're it's like a log jam getting up until the top wild card spot. So even if they play really well, they're going to need some help elsewhere if they want to make that playoff.
A little less than 2 months away from the trade deadline happening. It's early March, and they may not know exactly what it is they want to do at this point. That could change over the next several weeks. But, you know, if that deadline was tomorrow, you know, what do you think they're looking at doing, if anything?
Last year, I would have been really surprised if they made a move, and they really didn't make a move. I think some people thought when Parayko went down last year, after the Four Nations break, there might be something, and there wasn't. This year, I'm really not surprised either way. If Doug Armstrong comes in and kind of cleans house a little bit, and by cleans house, I mean just trade like two or three of their like important guys, I wouldn't be surprised. If he doesn't move anybody at all because he thinks this team can do it and that's kind of Alexander Steen taking over this group moving forward, I also wouldn't be surprised if that happens. The interesting part for me will be to watch what happens with Justin Falk. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm like hearing rumors that Falk is gone. It's just Falk has had such a really good season. And when you're out of the playoff picture a little bit, there's going to be teams out there that are going to want an offensive defenseman that can score. And Justin Falk can score this year, and he's playing really well. And on the flip side of that, him scoring this year, that means his price is going up a little bit, and Army and the Blues can get something in return. So I'm really interested to see what happens with Justin Falk. And then I'm interested to see how Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen address this young core and what they do with maybe some of the older guys in front of them, because as these guys get back from injury, they have a really good problem at their hands. They have, you know, Bukestad and some of these guys that are coming back from injury. Walker came back a little bit ago, and these are your everyday guys. But also you called up Otto Stenberg, who's played pretty well, and Dalibor Dvorsky, who's played pretty well, and now you're getting a glimpse into the future of this organization and how big of a leash do you give those guys. And that's usually what we're talking about when we're talking about the Cardinals, but we're kind of talking about that with the Blues right now too. So they're in such an odd situation there and such a good problem in my eyes, where you have veterans that know how to play and are everyday NHL guys, but you also have guys that are pushing to make that starting lineup every single night that are young and hungry, and you drafted high for a reason. So I'm really interested. I mean, we're going to learn a lot about what they think that vision of the long term is, I think, what they do at this trade deadline. But as far as who it will be, mm-hmm. It's interesting because there's so many no move clauses in hockey, which is odd.
Well, and I know before we move on, that was one of my questions for you. Do you think the Blues are at a point that you might have someone like a Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, or Pavel Buchnevich, all of whom full no trade clauses locked in until the end of the 29-30 season? Do you think there's a chance that any of them waive those clauses just for a fresh start?
I think so. I think it has to be for the right fit. And I think it has to be for a right fit for the future, because you mentioned those contracts are longer than just next year. So are they going to go to a contender this year? If they waive, you know, their no trade clause, I think they're going to want to be at an organization that is going to make a push for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, like, they're not just going to want to go somewhere they're in their window right now and then they're gone. If we're talking football terms, you're talking like you're going to want to go to a team like the Chiefs or the Bills that are in their window right now, other than maybe teams that just go all in on 1 year. And, you know, like the Ravens, who are kind of, you know, a sinking ship, where it's like, oh, you might be able to win it 1 year. So I think they're going to need to do something like that if they're going to move those guys. But I think if those guys are open right now is the best time they're going to be open to moving.
Talking about the best teams in town, there's one. And right now it's SLU. The basketball team has done just an exceptional job. They're 15-1. They're going to play again tomorrow. And they've been just a really great watch this year. Jacob, how far can they go? They've already been successful about halfway through the season, but there's still a lot left here.
Yeah, the word that comes to my mind the most when thinking about this Billikens team is depth. And it's exactly what they didn't have a year ago. And I think a lot of people looked at SLU last year and they were like, I thought Josh Schertz was supposed to be this guy. Like, they didn't have very many guys on the bench last year. A couple of guys left midseason. They had some bad injuries, whatever the case may be. And he also got hired late last year because Indiana State made the NIT championship. So he was a late hire at SLU, and then he had to put a roster together really quick. And then some guys get hurt, some guys enter the portal when he gets here, whatever the case may be. This year, when we talked to him before the season and talked to the team, they were all just beaming about the depth that they have. And finally, they can play the Josh Schertz game. They can run up and down. They can shoot threes. They can do all these things. And that is you're seeing the byproduct of that right now with how good this Billikens team is. They're freaky athletic. And I think if you're looking at this Billikens team right now, there's like one name that really comes to mind that's been an absolute difference maker, and it's Kellen Thames, the hometown kid. Well, remember, he didn't play last year because he had cramps? He wasn't able to play the whole season last year. They had to shut him down. They look to have figured it out in the offseason. They figure out the cramps issue, And now he comes back and he's making SportsCenter top 10 plays with dunks and saving balls that are going out of bounds and throwing them between his legs. And not only can he play, he doesn't have to play the whole game because they have depth. And that is vital for this team right now. And that is what you're seeing, is you're seeing a healthy and deep Josh Schertz coach team. And that is what you're seeing at SLU. And I think this team, what they're doing right now, I think the A-10, they could definitely win the A-10 because of how talented they are and how well coached they are. And they got shooters. And I think I was talking to somebody the other day that's a fan of a different team in the country. And they were like, we have athletes. They just brought in the guys that can't play the system the coach is coaching. Well, I think Josh Schertz has athletes, and he also brought in guys that can play the system that Josh Schertz is coaching. So I think if you're a Billikens basketball fan, or you're really just a basketball fan in St. Louis, you're in for a really, really exciting spring. And I don't think there's any telling what this team can do in March.
Billikens host Fordham tomorrow. We'll have that game here on KMOX. 6:45 is when the broadcast starts. Before we let you go, Cardinals have, I don't believe we've gotten the official word yet on the reliever that they've picked up. It's the latest deal they've made. Still, though, waiting on Nolan Arenado and Brendan Donovan, and seeing if deals happen with the two of them. Just how much do you expect to happen here in the next couple of weeks? Because spring training is not that far away, and winter warm-up is this weekend.
I've been looking forward to winter warm-up for a really long time, simply because when the off-season hit, we're like, we're going to see this happen. We're going to see this happen. What's going to happen here? And there's been interviews with Chaim Bloom. You look at the, you know, the winter meetings, which you guys were at as well with Matt Pauley. And it's like, you get some answers there, but I think winter warm-up is like the date that it's like, okay, like spring training's right around the corner. Like if teams are going to do things, it's either now or you're moving things into spring training, which some teams don't want to do. So I think this weekend, I'm really interested to just get answers from the team, from, you know, talk to Ollie, talk to the, like, just see what, I don't want to use the word vibe, but it's the only thing I think of right now. See what the vibe is around this team and around this organization and what's going to happen. Because you're right, there are some big looming questions around this organization, and spring training is simply just around the corner. You give Nolan Arenado this big standing ovation. Well, I want to say big, but this ovation as he leaves Busch Stadium last year. And it's a well-known fact that he's going to be out of St. Louis. Well, winter warm-up is here, and it's mid to late January, and Nolan Arenado is still on the roster. Also, last year at the trade deadline, John Mozeliak's like, everybody's hitting on our left-handed hitters. Like, everybody wants our left-handed hitters. Well, I don't think that's really changed. And so what's going to happen with some of those guys? I think there's a lot of questions around this team. I don't know if they're going to be answered around before spring training, but to me, winter warm-up is the date that it's like everybody kind of opens their eyes again. It's like, oh, baseball is literally just around the corner. I mean, my God, City SC just started practice yesterday. It's crazy to think that these summer sports are already here. But if you're going to make trades and you're going to do things before the season, you're kind of running out of time.
Jacob Sersosimo, sports reporter for KMOV and Matrix Midwest. As always, we appreciate talking with you. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Jacob Sersosimo with us, who just ran an ultra marathon, which means you run 800 miles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Equivalent, or the emotional equivalent. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a texter who says, I can't even drive that far.
I would rather run 50 miles than drive 50 miles. Driving 50 miles is pretty far.
Well, that's like going to Wentzville.
Is Wentzville 50 or 50?
It feels like 150. Going to Cottleville?
Oh, man, though, but that store
feels
in
like
Cottleville,
an eternity
what's
out there?
That Italian little market in Cottleville? It's the best bread and pies and, like, meats. It's like the smokehouse in Chesterfield, but it's the Cottleville.
I couldn't tell you. It's too far, and I don't pack enough provisions to go out there.
Well, you'll get your provisions there.
Chris and Amy on KMOX.
The text line and the comment section are blowing up. Menino's Market in Cottleville. Oh, my gosh. And as Linda, who's watching on Facebook, says, it's only a 35-minute drive from Clayton. I'm telling you.
What, are you driving 100?
No, go to Menino's Market. When you get there, I think I ate an entire baguette in the parking lot.
Okay.
It was Menino's, still hot.
If they want to, if they want to pick me up and drive me out there, I'd be more than willing to go.
I don't even think it was a baguette. What's an Italian-shaped bread? It's Italian bread. Italian-shaped. Baguette-shaped Italian bread. Is that just Italian bread? That's what it was. At any rate, I'm telling you, it's like a drug. It's okay. So good. And then the chocolate chip cookies, and you can get a pie, and you can get a sandwich.
Speaking of sending us somewhere, we asked you last week, remember? Amy, we were talking to the people.
Of course I remember. And I've been thinking about it every day.
And we asked people if our boss should send us to spring training, because I think we should go. It's Florida. And
yeah, obviously, we are the mothership for the Cardinals.
We are the mothership of the Cardinals.
Yes.
Also known as the flagship.
The flagship.
And we asked the people, and this is binding? Didn't we decide that?
Yes, legally.
Okay, legally
I'm
binding.
I'm pretty sure, I think it was Brad Young. I don't want to, attribute things, but I'm pretty sure it's legally binding.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this down the hall to our boss and say, look, people Listen. Said you have to, because the voting went like this. Should KMOX send the Chris and Amy show to spring training?
Yeah.
Your answers were yes or no.
Okay.
And you must explain why, you jerk, if you said no. Mm-hmm. 81% of respondents said that yes, we should be sent to spring training.
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. It's not even close.
It's not even fun. It is just, listen, I think it would be rude not to. We are the flagship / mothership station for the St. Louis Cardinals. I think for credibility reasons, I think it's important. Our boss always wants us to have a cause. He wants us to be passionate about
something. Here's our cause. We're passionate about going to spring training.
Yeah.
So send us. There are a couple of people responded to that tweet. One said that they want to see me in a ridiculous Cardinals Hawaiian shirt.
Okay.
I don't think they're ridiculous at all.
You should wear one right after your colonoscopy. It'll look good.
I might wear like during it, backwards. That'll be the...
You bring
I will
own.
Get an... slightly oversized Hawaiian shirt, and I will wear it backwards.
They'll hand you the robe, and you say, no.
For my butt scope.
I brought my own.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Like, I got mine here. I might just cut a hole in my pants.
I think you should just cut a hole in your pants.
This message, it's not a message. This was a person who responded to the tweet. Mm-hmm. It says, keep the money local. Don't give Florida any more of it. That's legit. I can get behind that.
No, you can't, Ronch.
Yeah.
How are we going to get to spring training? Listen, the Cardinals are already going there. You think the $7 it's going to cost to send us there is going to make a difference?
$7?
Probably, at least.
It would cost way more than that. A lot. We could stay at Michael Kelly's house.
Does anybody want to sponsor us going to spring training?
Who wants to sponsor us going to spring training? Let us know.
Brought to you by Duke's Mayonnaise.
314-436-7900. Hour 3 of the show is coming up. Guest House Gang is at 12. Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, and me. Got a lot to talk about today. Hopefully by then we'll find those monkeys. The monkeys are on the loose, and artificial intelligence is somehow making it tougher to find them. We'll discuss when we come back on KMOX.